He said there's a coming need in this decade, which is pay. There's a coming need in this decade for us to come face to face with God. He said, make a conscious decision to see his face. All you have to do is press into him and let him come into face to face with you. So my journey was, what does face to face mean? I don't know about you, but when I hear people say, seek the face of God, I actually envision seeing him. For me, it's usually the Ancient of Days that's described in Scripture. Sometimes it's the face of Jesus, how I see him. But I wanted to do a little bit of research about this to help us get a really broad picture of what this is. And many of you probably already know a lot of this. So the Hebrew word that's translated face in the Old Testament is also often translated presence. So when we seek the face of God, we're seeking his presence. So if we look at that in the natural, when we are talking face to face with someone, we're able to see their expression. We're able to actually see inward and experience what they're feeling. There's something about that. You know, texting and Facebooking oftentimes gets us in trouble because the person cannot see our face or hear our voice. And so sometimes what we say gets confused and mixed up and it sounds different than how we meant it. I believe this happens when we read the word.
Yes.
We read a scripture and we take it the wrong way because we're not seeing God's face in it. We're not seeing his expression. I think we heard his expression this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I'm humbled by that.
Yeah.
That he feels that way about us. So a person's face reveals much about his or her character and her personality. So we recognize a person by looking at his face or her face, right? Sometimes we don't see someone for a long time and we run into them and we recognize that face. Sometimes we can't put the name to it, but we recognize the face. So in a sense, the face represents the whole person. So in 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is like one of our favorite scriptures for the last several years.
I'm
not going to quote the whole thing. We know it was in a time when Israel needed to turn back to God.
Chronicles
7:14. And he basically said, if you humble yourself and pray and seek my face, then I'll forgive your sin and heal your land. In Psalms 105:4, it says that God's faithful ones were called to always seek his face. So even if we haven't abandoned God like Israel did, there are times we neglect to pursue him. God's face, his character, is often obscured by our conditions, by what's happening with us, where we're at in our life, what's happening around us. And that's why he urges us to continually seek his face, so that we always know who he is, how he feels about us. Not how we feel about ourselves, not how someone else feels about us. So we remember who he is. So the Lord desires to be our constant companion in every experience of life. Oh my gosh. I mean, he wants us to know him through and through. He already knows us. He wants us to know him the same way he knows us. And he says, all of our hairs are numbered. That's knowing us. So in James 4:8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you of two minds. That's the NAS translation. You of two minds. So we know what that means, right? Mm-hmm. It means that war that's going on all the time. The battle for our mind. The battle over truth. Like Kathy says, not facts. Truth. Truth. Facts are different. We always have to remember facts are different than truth. This might be happening. This might be what that person's saying to you. This might be how you feel. But what does God say about you? That's the truth.
Yes.
That's the truth. What does he say about himself? He doesn't just say, I love. He says, I am love. Go back and read 1 Corinthians 13 with that in mind about what it says about love. All those things, that's God.
Yes.
So when you start struggling with certain things and you feel like, man, I'm a constant failure, I never do anything right, you can go back and it says, love bears all things. It's not impatient. We get impatient. He does not. Robert Heidler said at the head of the year, he said, we cannot move in the new until we get the old out. We must reorder for the new. This was what really struck me when I read over it this week. I really started thinking about this in my life. Remove everything in your life that is toxic to your relationship with him. That's something to ponder. What is in my life that is toxic to my relationship with him? Robert said we need to get rid of worry, anxiety, or whatever keeps us from abandonment. Now, I find that interesting. Think about this. If you come into service and you're under anxiety or worry, you find you're just not quite as free in your worship. You ever notice that? That's happened to me. You're not quite as abandoned. Why? Because of the worry, anxiety, you know, because of things in your life. Robert said, there's a sand that connects heaven to earth. We must worship with abandonment. And get this, when we do, God will arise and take care of our enemies.
Yes.
When we worship in abandonment, I started thinking, wow, so from now on, when I start having that issue in my home, probably I should just worship with abandonment.
Yeah.
Robert also said that where there is no way, God is creating new pathways through abandoned worship. And if he gave this scripture, and I didn't look it up at the time, but I looked it up this week. So in Daniel chapter 9, of course, it's talking about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. That's part of what it's talking about. But in verse 25, he says, The street will be built again. And then listen to this. And the walls, even in troublesome times. God is rebuilding us, rebuilding the walls around us, even in troublesome times. Wow! This means that even in our troubled times, God will rebuild. He will create pathways for us. So in Psalms 24, 3 through 6, it says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face, God of Jacob. So he's saying, such is the generation who seeks God and seeks God's face. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God the Savior. So when we approach God in prayer, we're seeking his face.
Yeah.
We're seeking his face. We're seeking him, his character, who he is. And so Chuck is saying, this is the year, this is the decade for us to get to know him. Come face to face with him. This is our whole life. But they're saying this year and this next decade is critical for us to come into this intimate relationship with the Lord. So the true nature of worship is to seek God's face. Our walk is a life devoted to seeking God's presence and favor. The Lord wants us to humbly and trustingly seek his face in our prayers and in our times in his word. It requires intimacy, and it requires to look intently into someone's face. Pursuing God's face is the equivalent to developing an intimate relationship with him. And Robert Heiler said, experience the overwhelming joy of his face. He is always happy to see you.
Amen.
Zephaniah 3:17, it says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior who will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love, who will sing joyfully because of you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Having God's face smile on you is an expression of his blessing, his love, and favor. In Psalms 80, verse 3, 7, 19, number 6, 25, it talks about, may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. So we no longer pursue him with a list. Wants and needs. Why?
Say that again. That's good.
This year, I think we have to stop pursuing him with a list of wants and needs.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the scripture says, or Robert said, based on scripture, that when we worship with abandonment, God will arise and take care of our enemies.
Yes.
And not only that, but this is the year of the mouth. So when it comes to our list of needs and wants, it's time for us to tell our needs and wants what God says about those needs and wants.
Amen.
What does he say? And then declare that. that into those needs and wants. So really important for us. This is a part of the manifestation of the sons.
Yes.
We have been given his authority. It's hard. It's hard to transition from that. It's hard to transition from asking God for this and asking God to do this and asking God to save this person and asking. No, it is hard. Believe me. I know. But it's time for us to transition.
Yes.
It's time for us to shift. Yes. The sooner we do this, the sooner the victory comes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because God says that his word goes out and it doesn't return void.
Right.
That's right.
And he wants to save our kids, our grandkids, our relatives, our friends, more than we want them to get saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
He really does.
That's true.
Yeah. He really does.
Yes.
Yes. So, when we draw close to God, we are blessed with his shining favor. Now think about this. When we transition from the laundry list of needs and wants, transition to the face-to-face abandonment,
wow.
What happens?
Stuff changes.
Shining favor.
He shines on us. We are blessed with his shining favor. Not just favor. Shining favor.
Ooh.
Aware of what we need.
That's right.
Matthew 6, 7 and 8, 32-33.
Yep.
We trust that he will take care of
us.
Yes.
Seeking God's face means desiring to know his character and wanting him, his presence, more than any other thing he can give us. I love this one. So in Psalms 34:5, it says, I don't have the exact quote, but it says, those who look to him are radiant. Why? Their faces are never covered with shame.
Yes.
Their faces are never covered with shame.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Their faces are never covered with shame.
Yes.
Those who look to him, those who look in his face are radiant because their faces are never covered with shame. Why? Because when we look on him, how can there be shame? Because all he does is look at us with love.
Yes, right.
With love.
Yes. The truth.
I'm trying to think of his name. Hastings. Jeff Hastings.
Yes.
I'm going to share this. I don't think he'll mind. He shared it in a public situation. A while ago, several years ago, he was asked to do kind of some foundational teaching, like on water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, in a church. And so anyway, he was really excited about that. He put it all together. And the announcement came out. Boy, I should have written this down, but the announcement came out in the bulletin that he was going to be teaching on, what was it? It wasn't foundational doctrines. It was something about relationship. It was something, I should have written it down. So good. But anyway, it was about relationship. And he said when he read it, he got angry. These are requirements. These are the things you're supposed to do. What do you mean, relationship? Anyway, God started speaking to him. And The one thing I remember that he said was that the Lord began to speak to him as to why. Why you do this? And he found that in all the foundational new convert decisions that you're supposed to make, it was all because of love. It wasn't about the doing. It was about relationship. It was about God coming together with that person. Changed his whole theology. I told him, I said, would you come and teach at Firestorm about this? I was so impacted. It was beautiful. I will never be able to say it as beautifully as he did. I was so impacted. So, the point of the matter is that everything about God, everything that he asked us to do, everything is about his love for us, for his people, and for those out there that don't know him. The Bible often portrays salvation using the language of God's face. On three occasions, Psalms 80 says, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." Three times in Psalm 80. "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we might be saved." To see God's face implies royal access.
That's right.
Royal access. God's face is gracious and honorable.
Yeah.
It's his presence. When God's people stand in his presence, they connect intimately with the God of glory. Seeing the face of God is our greatest honor. Seeing his face is our greatest honor. Numbers 6:24-26 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace."
Hallelujah.
Woo! Wow!
Yeah.